Good morning and welcome to Trinity United Methodist Church. We are blessed that you are here to worship the risen Savior Jesus, our coming King and living Lord Christ with us here this morning. As we begin this time of praise and worship, if you would, let's open up with a time of word of prayer. Please bow your heads and your hearts and let's go before the Lord Christ here today. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day. We thank you for your mercy and your grace. We thank you for your love. Most importantly, we thank you for your sacrifice and your forgiveness that we all who have received you can know that we have been adopted by you into your family. We, in fact, have been given the right by you, Jesus, to become children of God, and we praise you for that. We honor you for that. We bless you for that, and we truly, truly are thankful for your forgiveness of our mistakes, of our sins, iniquities, and transgressions. We bless you this morning, and we pray for this service that you would be finding everything that is said and done here to be pleasing in your sight. We commit it into your care. May you glorify yourself and praise unto you. And we pray this in the mighty name of the risen Lord and Savior Jesus, we do pray. Amen.
So good to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen. As we stand and get ready to praise the Lord this morning, let's turn to our neighbor and say, I am so thankful you're here today.
Come down to the river. Come and let yourself in. Come.
As we bow our heads, Heavenly Father, as we come before you, we thank you for allowing us to be able to lay down our problems to you, Lord. Father, because you do take care of everything, Lord. Father, allow us to remember that when we get angry or upset with other people or begin to judge people, Lord, allow us to see the big picture. Allow us to ask ourselves, what would you do in this situation, Lord? Because after all, at Calvary, you paid the ultimate price so we may have a future, Lord. In all things, we give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not about the one who's crucified. Great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. Then my burdensome found liberty at Calvary. By God's word at last my sin I learned, then I trembled at the law I'd spurned, till my guilty soul imploring turned to free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. Then my burdensome found liberty at Calvary. Now I give to Jesus everything. Now I gladly own him as my king. Now my raptured soul can only sing of Calvary. There was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. Then my burdensome found liberty at Calvary. Oh, the love that true salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty cloth that God did. Span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. Then my burning soul found liberty at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me.
Bow our heads. Lord, allow us to lay every burden we carry with us to you, Lord, knowing that you hold our future and you have a bright, bright future for us, Lord. Father, let us remember to turn our eyes upon you no matter what we're going through, Lord. Allow us to remember you're there with us. In all things, we give you praise, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
So are you weary in trouble? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior. In life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strong.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for a glorious day that you made, Lord. Father, allow us to stay focused on you, for the things of this earth will grow dim, Father, as we face you one day and be able to see you and walk and talk with you. What joy that would be, Father. Allow us to be an example on this earth, allowing others to see you through us, Lord. In all that you've done for us, Father, allow us to be that light into this world. Let us not judge others or talk about others, but let us just stay focused on you. And let our words be what you would want them to be. In all things we give you praise. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.
You may be seated. Before we continue this time of worship, I just want to highlight a couple brief announcements. As I highlight these, junior worship is now dismissed for those in kindergarten through fifth grade. We have a special ministry prepared especially for you here this morning. Notice with me on the back of your bulletin, this coming Saturday, June the 11th at 1 p.m., we will be decorating the church for the week of Vacation Bible School. And so as you come here next Sunday, you will see many of the decorations will be already put up in preparation for, I think we are up to just about 90 kids that have pre-registered. And so we are in store for an awesome week, an exciting week of many kids that will be here. And typically, friends, we will get more on the first day that will come in and register that first day. And so God is once again entrusting us, entrusting you here at Trinity with almost 100 kids once again this year. What a tremendous privilege, what a tremendous honor, and what a tremendous call to make sure that we are faithful and we do what we are called to do, and that is share the gospel of Jesus Christ with every single one of these young lives. And so if you want to come out and help decorate the church, we would love to have you. Many hands makes light work. Also, you will notice in continuing with the theme of VBS, you will notice that we are still short a couple volunteers, and it is not too late to be a part of this wonderful outreach ministry. So if God is calling you, if God is through his Spirit touching your heart and soul right now to be a part of this wonderful week of sharing his good news and his love of Jesus Christ, please, there's a sign-up sheet in the fellowship hall. We would love to have you be a part of what a tremendous opportunity and week that is. And lastly, you will notice the Creation Museum fellowship trip. You can read all about that in July from the 29th through the 31st. We as a church, whoever is interested, will be going down to see the Ark, which is being completed, and it is a life-size Ark of the replica of what Noah built back in his day, and then we will also be traveling to the Creation Museum. We're going to have an itinerary that's going to be flexible, and so you will have opportunity to spend time with your individual families or to be part of the group from here at Trinity. So make note of that. And then a women's Bible study on June the 22nd. They are starting a new Bible study, and so it will be on the book of Hebrews. And if you are a lady here and would like to be a part of that, you can see Julie Seif. I do not see her this morning. And get more information about that Bible study. This morning's scripture reading is found in the Gospel of Luke. We'll be reading out of chapter 6. And if you're utilizing your Pew Bible, you will find this on page 1601. We'll be beginning verse 36, and we will read through verse 42. So follow along as we listen to a reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verses 36 through 42. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. He also told them this parable. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? A student is not above his teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like his teacher. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take the speck out of your eye," when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. May God bless the reading of his word. As we continue this time of worship with the giving of our tithes and offerings, if the ushers would please come, may we give back a portion of what God has blessed us with.
Take away the melodies. Take away the songs I sing. Take away all the lies. All the songs you let me write. Does the man I am today say the words you need to say? Let them see you in me. Let them hear you when I speak. Let them feel you when I sing. Let them see you. Let them see you in me.
Ever-loving Heavenly Father, we do thank you for all the many blessings that you so graciously grant unto us each and every day. As part of those blessings, Father, we've placed on your altar this morning our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings, asking your blessing upon them. Bless them and multiply them into your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Morning, before we get into our message, we are through a series. I'm going to ask Matt to put up the chorus of the last song that we just sang, if we could, here for a moment. The one where it says, "Let them see you in me." I want us to read this. You see, this morning, God, and I'm afraid and really concerned. This whole week, I've been convicted over, really, to be honest with you, some of my speech. And not that I swear or anything like that, but as I've been preparing for this message this morning, God has been dealing with me in a level that he really wants to deal all of us with. He wants to deal with you and me both. I had no clue. I mean, I did, but I didn't register until we sang these words, "Let them see you in me. Let them hear you when I speak. Let them feel you when I sing. Let them see you. Let them see you. You in me." There's two scripture verses that I believe are the most quoted, and one of those we're going to deal with here this morning. And you be judged. And so basically, as we unpack, I want to give us all an understanding that what Jesus is saying is that the first witness that you and I give an angel, and I don't know with my mic here, as the first witness that you and I give to someone else, it comes out of our mouth. When I speak, let them see you in me. Let them feel you when I sing. And so, friends, this morning, sometimes I'm fearful that you and I, as followers of Jesus Christ, as lovers of the risen Savior, I'm fearful that we play God. And I'm here to tell you that the enemy, the devil, he is the accuser of the brethren and the sisters in Christ. The scriptures tell us that. One night, he's in the presence of the Almighty God, and he accuses you and me. And I just want to say this right now, that he doesn't need any help, okay? He doesn't need any help. Honestly, can I get an amen?
Amen.
The devil does not need you or me to help him. We need to grasp that. We need to understand that. This entire text, and I challenge you on your own time, you know, as you do your studies, to open up to Luke chapter 6 and look at what the context is. And you will find that the context is love. And Jesus, in fact, was teaching about love and what it looks like to love one another. In 2012, when I moved in here, I went down to a store, and I had to, you know, basically purchase some things for the parsonage, and it was right in town. Now, I hadn't been here but 2 days, and I began to learn real quick how quickly things work and run and verbally are spoken in the little town of Gibsonburg. It's scary, friends. You know, I moved from an area where no one else knew me. You know, and do my own thing. And you know, basically, I may or may not see someone that I knew. It is absolutely frightening to me. Not that I'm doing something I shouldn't be doing. I have nothing to hide, okay? I mean, I live a life of an open book. But what I subtly began to find out was that things moved quickly in the congregation here as well. And sometimes those things were not beneficial for others. Hear that. I want us to hear that. We've been taking little bites as we move through the series titled Forgiven because it's so important. The whole gospel is based upon the forgiveness of Jesus Christ that you and I have received and we've been given by God Almighty. And because we have been given the forgiveness, we have been charged by Him to be forgiving people. And so I want to unpack this one verse. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. And so when we play God, we need to understand that the first aspect that we do, and we are called right in the middle of this whole context that Jesus, He shifts from speaking about love, and we will be taking part in the table of love, the table of forgiveness here in a few moments, friends. And He says, be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. And then He goes on, and in the context of love, He says, judge not. Now, we need to understand what judging is. In the original text, it's krine. And we get the English word critical from that. I want you to hear that. And so when Jesus is saying, judge not, and yes, you have probably, as I have, had others, individuals, when you have gone to them and spoken something to them, they will rip this verse out of context and say, judge not, lest ye be judged, right? Have you experienced that? I have. Certainly have. But Jesus isn't saying not to judge. What He's saying is do not be critical of another individual. Do not speak something that will not be beneficial to that individual. And when we are critical of someone else, we begin to enter into a realm where we partake in character assassination. And yes, I'll say it again, character assassination. We begin to label people for what they do instead of seeing them through the lens of love as Jesus is calling us to see them through. And He is saying, do not be critical of them. And He says this, because when we're critical with someone, of someone, others begin to be critical of us. Typically, those who are the most critical are the biggest offenders. I'll say that again. Those who are most critical are the biggest offenders. Let that sink in. It's held true time and time and time again. And Jesus says, judge not. Do not be critical. Now, there's two polar opposites where you can say, okay, I am not supposed to. If I see my brother or sister going to an area that the business going into, then I should shut my mouth. And I really don't like this mic. Because I really believe, I believe that this is too important. There's two polar sides that we can fall into error on this. The first is that we don't go to anyone when we see them, you know, entering into a life that they have no business in and we do nothing. And friends, that is not at all what Jesus is saying, because He basically, later on, He talks about going to your brother when you have a plank in your eye and looking to get the speck out of your brother. He didn't say, don't go to your brother. The other angle is this, that I am my brother's keeper and I am responsible for everything that they do and I have to speak to everything that they are involved in. Neither one are correct. Hear that. Neither one are correct. Judge not. Do not be critical is what Jesus is saying. And He is saying, and you will not receive the criticism of others. I have found this to be true in my life. That when I do not judge, others give me more grace. And quite frankly, friends, you know, we all have been given so much grace and forgiveness by the living Lord Jesus that we have no right to be critical of another. Now, we do and we are called, and later on in another couple weeks, we're going to, you know, talk about when we are called to speak out. Because, friends, this is vitally important. We live in a day where we are called to speak truth in love. I want you to hear that. But the typical way that our minds go is we get so critical of other people, and then our minds are consumed with that criticism, and then we begin to become bitter and resentful, and typically it's all as a result of an offense that they have done to us. Now, there is a right time to speak. There is a wrong time to speak. The reason that I've been getting convicted, not that I've been saying things or sharing things that I shouldn't share, that's not it at all. It's the essential witness that all of us have been charged with to share with the living world. I just want you to ponder for a moment. What would it look like if Trinity United Methodist Church was the witness to this village and was the exception to the norm? Hear that. Hear that. What would it look like? How attractive? I can tell you time and time again, I've sat in the parlor and I have had the blessed privilege of leading individuals to come to Christ and place their faith in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And you know what they say to me? I say, I'll see you on Sunday. Nope, I won't be here. You know why? Because of the talk. Because of the talk. That's scary, friends. That is absolutely scary. This is why the devil does not need your help and my help in his accusing of the brethren. And this is the heart of God. I want you to see the heart of God, because he says, judge not and you will not be judged. Condemn not and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. And this is God's heart for you and for me. It won't just be given in any manner of way. It will be given to you with good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, and it will be put into your lap. Years ago, I would go with my grandfather into the feed store. They would grab an old burlap sack, and they would fill it with cracked corn or whatever type of feed we were getting, and they would wrap the thing around the nozzle to fill the sack. And I remember the guy that was filling that burlap sack, he would shake it, he would push it down, and he made sure that every measure of grain got in there. And that's exactly what God wants to do for you and for me. He doesn't say that it will just be given to you just a little bit. He says, no, if you judge not, if you are not critical, if you are not condemning in your speech, you will not be condemned. If you forgive, you will be forgiven. If you give, it will be given to you. And this is the way it will be given, with good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be given to you. Now, I don't know about you, but I need God to give me that way. I need his good measure. I need it to be pressed down in my life. I need it to be shaken so that everything settles and there's not even any room for any air. And then even more so, to grab some more and put it in there to make sure that what I need, God gives to me. And that is God's heart for you and for me. He wants you to receive his grace, his mercy, and his love in that fashion. Not just in a little dribble, not just in a little part of your life, not in just a little bit of your mind. He wants you to receive a good measure full of his love, a good measure full of his forgiveness, a good measure full of his grace and his mercy. He wants you to receive it that way, shaken down, so that there's no area in your life that isn't positively impacted and affected, and put together and pressed down. You see, the trouble is when we play God and we become critical towards our brothers and sisters in Christ, we not only are a bad witness, but this is where forgiveness can be selfish, because we shortchange yourself and myself. Because we have decided to say, okay, and when we decide to play God and be critical of another person, then God says, hey, okay, you're on your own. You think that you know best? Then you're on your own. And we separate our lives from this, of what God wants to give to you. He wants to give you things with a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. That's his heart. That is what his will is for you and for me. I want you to hear that. I want you to hear that. The enemy will speak into your mind, into your soul, and say, yeah, hold their feet to the fire, get them, be critical of them, tell everybody else what they did to you and what they failed to do, share it, share it, share it. But you need to understand that when you do that, you are separating yourself from the will of God, from God's heart for you and for me. And his will is to give it to you, the forgiveness, the love, the mercy, the peace of mind, heart, and soul, the joy that surpasses any understanding. That's his heart for you, and not just to give you a little dribble of it. But no, to give you more than what you could ever fathom, to give you more than what you ever believed that you needed, to give you more than what you ever could comprehend. And it's a good measure, because God is a good God, and it's shaken together. And so your life comes together when you receive that, and it's running over. And he says, no, I'm not stopping there. I'm going to press it down into your life so that you will be transformed. See why this is important? Because I want what's best for you. I want what's best for me. Now, there are times where we are called to share. This is God's heart. The second thing that we need to understand is we need to understand the connection. The connection is this. He also told them a parable. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Now, I'm thankful that God deals with me and keeps me on a short leash. I pray for that every day. And yes, I said leash. I pray that way. I say, Lord, keep me on a short leash. Convict me harshly. That's what I say every single day. Make me usable, because I can't take anyone else any further than what I am willing to go. If I am not being dealt with in my heart, then I can't share with conviction and boldness the word of God. Jesus is supreme, well beyond me. And this is what he says. He says, can a blind man lead a blind man? In a few moments, we're going to partake in the bread and the cup. Jesus, my friends, is not blind. Although he was reviled, and although he was persecuted, and although he was treated unjustly, he never returned anything of the sort to those who mistreated him. And basically, Jesus says, will they not both fall into a pit? And so we need to understand there are significant individuals. This past week, we have lost two saints. I want you to understand that. Two saints, both of them, the hallmark of their life, I have talked with them at length, the hallmark of their life, there were things that were going on here at Trinity that they quite frankly were not happy with, and both of them never once uttered a negative word about anyone. The hallmark of their life, of both of their lives, was to speak truth in love. It was not to be involved in the character assassination of a beloved brother or sister. I want you to hear that. Because as I knew Marie and Jim, that is what sticks out to me. And then I have to ask myself the question, what do I want my legacy to be? Who do I want people to think of me as one who is following Jesus, as a fellow Christ follower who does not judge by being critical, who does not condemn through my words, who does not withhold forgiveness, but who does receive God's mercy and grace and pours it out to others? You see, Jesus, he set the tone and he set the way and he gave us the journey. And this is where he says, a disciple is not above his teacher. But everyone, when he is fully taught, will be like his teacher. And so our call is this. As Jesus went to the cross and he laid down his life, and even at the extreme persecution, he did not give in to the critical nature of what our humanness tendencies can be. I want you to know that. He did not give in. We are not above our teacher, Jesus. We are not above him. And so therefore, because he set the way and he gave his life on the cross, and we will partake in the bread and the cup in a few moments. And as we partake, we are not greater than him. We need to follow his example. We need to live lives exemplary. Live lives above reproach. Live lives in such that we are sharing and showing, as we have sung, let them see you, O Christ, in me. Let them hear you, O Christ, in me. Let them feel you, O Christ, when I sing. Let them see you in me. That's the connection. The connection is the cross of Christ Jesus. The connection is the sacrifice of Christ Jesus. The connection is what God gave to you and to me, the forgiveness of your mistakes, your sins, your iniquities, your transgressions, whatever name you want to put on it. The forgiveness of your faults and flaws. The forgiveness, the love of God said, and it compelled Jesus to step out of heaven and come to the earth and say, I love you so much. You are in desperate need of this. And it's forgiveness, friends. That's the forgiveness. And that is the connection. I want us to understand the call. And the call is this, that it's what we do with this. And the call, if we could go on, the call is this. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye, when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take out the speck that is in your brother's eye. I want you all to know that there have been things that have taken place here at Trinity that I have had to make the difficult decision of whether or not I would speak. And I'm here to tell you that in the cases of severe abuses, there are times where people have to testify in court. And what Jesus is not saying is he is not saying to keep your mouth shut. That is not what he is saying. Otherwise, he wouldn't say, go to your brother. He's first saying this. He's saying, before you speak something, before you go to someone, before you get critical in your mind, heart, and soul, you need to do in some introspection. You need to turn inward on yourself, and you need to be, okay, am I right for this? Am I still critical? If I'm still critical, then I better shut my mouth and not say a word. If I'm not critical, if I have compassion and love and care and concern and mercy for this other individual, then yes, at that point in time, you probably are okay. If you feel a sense of joy in speaking something, you're never okay. Because friends, I've had to say things to people that there is no joy in. There's never any joy in rebuking someone. There is never any joy in that. And so what Jesus is not saying, there have been things that have touched my family where I have had family members that have gone to court and they've testified for the benefit and the welfare and the protection of society. Hear that. This is not what Jesus is saying. He is not speaking about keeping your mouth shut and letting these travesties continue on. He is saying, do some healthy introspection before you go, before you speak, before you do anything. You need to turn inward on yourself, and you need to pray, Lord Jesus, check my heart, check my mind, and am I right with you? And if you're right, then and only then you proceed. You proceed with the love of Jesus Christ. You proceed then. The fact of the matter is Jesus says, look, check your own life first. And when we fail to check our own life, we have this self-righteousness thing going on that he spoke out against the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious leaders of his day. And the self-righteous thing that happens is we are then becoming critical in our own being by saying we are better than whatever that individual is doing. He's saying, check yourself. And then once you have checked yourself, then you will be able to see clearly to take out the speck that is in your brother's eye. In the book, Total Forgiveness, R.T. Kendall, he gives this acronym, and I'm going to share it with you. And before we speak, if we fail and if we don't want to play God, we need to ask ourselves, do we need, and that's the acronym, need, to speak what we're about to speak? Is it necessary? Is it necessary? That's the N. Is it necessary to say something? I can think of times and times, things that have taken place here in Trinity, that is absolutely was necessary for me to speak it because it was for the protection of all of you, okay? It was not any other motive or initiative behind that. It was for the protection of us, of all of our beloved brothers and sisters in Christ. Is it necessary? That's the first thing. Does it encourage the other individual? That's the first E. What's our motive for going and speaking? Is it to beat them down? Is it to be self-judging and critical of them? Or is it to encourage them to get back on the path and to get right with God? Is it edifying? Does it build them up or does it tear them down? And does it allow them to keep their dignity? Is it need to be said? You know, when Jesus was hanging on the cross and going through the trials and the persecutions and all the beatings and everything like that, he spoke out from time to time. But he always edified, he always encouraged, he always allowed them to keep their dignity. Pontius Pilate, he even spoke and said, you would not have that power if it were not given to you from God, from on high. He spoke when it was necessary. When it was important enough to speak, he encouraged them, he edified them, and he allowed them to keep their dignity. So friends, as we move forward, as we look at this whole concept of forgiveness, the enemy does not need you or me. The enemy doesn't need us. He does a well enough job on his own. But when we see things that are not right, and if it's necessary for the protection, for the well-being, and your heart is right, and you have done some self-introspection, and you are consumed with the love of God, and God has given to you his forgiveness, his mercy, his grace, his love, and his peace with a good measure, shaken together, pressed down, and running over, then you will have the right heart to go and to speak. Even those difficult things, even those hard things, even those crazy things that you don't want to do it. But we need to ask, is it necessary? Does it encourage that individual? Does it edify them? And does it allow them to keep their dignity? When we do that, friends, then we will are standing in line to receive from what God has for us the goodness, the grace, the mercy, the love, and the peace, and the goodness that he has for you and for me. And then this is what's going to take place here. All of those that are out in the village of Gibsonburg that are afraid to come in here, they're going to know that this is a safe place. They're going to understand that this is a safe place. I can go to Trinity because I know they'll catch my back. I know that no matter where I've been, what I've done, that they're not going to speak negatively about me. They're not going to be critical. They're not going to judge me. They're not going to do any of that. And they will not be afraid to walk in through those doors because we will love them with the good measure of love that God has given to you and to me, pressed down, shaken, running over, and given to you so that you don't keep it, but that you give it away. That's our call. That's our call, right there. The forgiveness of God has been given to you, not so that we can flip around and be judgmental and critical of others, but so that we can in turn forgive others and we can honor them and we can only speak when it's necessary. We can edify them and encourage them and we can allow them to keep their dignity. And may we all start with us, with ourselves, by checking and doing our own introspection as we check our heart and meet around the living Lord Jesus' table and take part in the bread and the cup. We will be taking communion. It's an open table, so if you're visiting with us, we invite you to partake. We do not require that you're a member. We don't require anything. Just come forward. You will be given a piece of bread, and you will take that bread and dip it in the juice, and you will partake individually, you know, with both together. You will come down the center aisle and depart on either side and return to your pew. And so may we pray. May we give thanks to the living God for what he has truly given to us and for what he wants you and I to receive from him. Let's bow our heads and our hearts. Gracious God, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your peace and your goodness and your truth. We thank you, O Christ, for the sacrifice that you gave for all of us, not just so that we could keep it for ourselves, but that we could turn around and give it away, because you truly have given us those things with good measure, shaken, pressed down, and is running over out of our lives. So, Father God, we thank you for the bread. We thank you for the cup. We pray that you would bless them. And as we commune with you this day, may it not stop here. May it go forth out of these walls into the community of Gibsonburg. May you be blessed and honored and glorified by what we say, by what we do, and how we sing the song of our lives. We love you and we thank you. In the holy name of the risen Christ, we do pray. Amen.
I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hands than to be the king of a vast domain. All beheld and sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords to.
Praise for everything, because we would rather have Jesus. If there's anything that's touched you about the message today, and there's so many good points in the message today, allow us to examine our hearts and let us turn to our Lord and say, Lord, I need you. I do need you. I need you to help me with my life. I need you to strengthen me and guide me. Show me the way to walk like you. In this last song, Lord, I need you. Know these altars are open if you need anything from the Lord.
I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the my heart, Lord, I need. teach my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, show my hope and stay. Lord, I need you. Oh,
close here this morning, I just want you to remember how God drew you to himself and the things that he convicted you and me of in our individual lives. He knew that it was necessary. But when he did so, he edified you. He uplifted you. He encouraged you to get right with him, and he always allowed you to keep his or your dignity. You see, that's the God that we serve. And what he's called us to do is to take that and take it into the world. And may we, before we speak, ask the question, do I need to speak what I'm about to say? And in so doing, friends, you will experience the best blessing, the biggest blessing, full of love and mercy and hope and truth and life and joy in your heart, mind, and soul. And it will not just be a little. It will be good measure full. It will be pressed down, shaken together, and running over out of your life. And so as we go forth, may we speak when it's necessary. May we edify those that we come across. May we encourage those across our path, and may we always allow them to keep their dignity as we close today. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, may you go forth and receive what God has for you this day. Amen.